Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is a short chat with Joe McAdam, recorded on Monday, November 5th, 2018, around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I like Joe a lot. Joe's been on the show quite a bit, and you can go see Joe in L.A. occasionally, and I forgot to ask him about plugs, so just figure that out, everybody. The next live edition of You, Me, Them, Everybody is on Friday, December 7th at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. It is our 10-year anniversary show. We've been doing special shows all year. This is the big one. That sounds weird. I got to get a new adjective other than weird. Anyways, that's going to be on December 7th, Friday, December 7th. Guests include Washington Post's Alexander Petrie, Allison Lane, Haywood Turnipseed Jr., and more. Go to youmethemeverybody.com for more info. And here's an election day, or no, almost election day chat with one of my favorite people, Joe McAdam. So it's the day before the arguably the most important election of our lifetime. There's a brand new Aaron Hernandez audio documentary podcast, some might say, on Boston Public Radio. But I think the most important story, the most important piece of culture that we're all ignoring is Adam Sandler's brand new special on Netflix, 100% Fresh. Joe, you were at one of the tapings.
Yeah, I was at one of the tapings at this venue called Dynasty Typewriter in L.A.
Why did you go see The Sandman in 2017, 2018? When did you see him?
It was this year. Yeah, it was this year.
In the most important election year of our life, why did you go decide to see Adam Sandler live in concert?
I think I got in for free. Maybe not. I don't know. But it's Adam Sandler doing stand-up. It was crazy. It was like a 2.5-hour show. I went with our mutual buddy, CJ Toledano, and he's a huge Adam Sandler fan.
CJ will actually listen to this show now if I tag him in it. That's the only way he'll listen to anything or consume anything that's not NBA related is if CJ Toledano is part of the title of a thing. So this will be
tag
called,
him. Yeah.
This will be called CJ Toledano and Adam Sandler in 2018.
Yeah.
The day before the most important election in our lifetime. Were you a fan of Sandler?
I was a massive fan as a kid when it was like the sketch CDs and all that stuff. I bought those. I bought the first three, and I listened to them obsessively as a kid, and I loved him on SNL and the movies and everything.
And then I'm assuming, like most people, around the time you got to college, you were done. Around Big Daddy, it was enough of Big Sandman for you.
Yeah, I think Big Daddy might have been, I don't know, I forget where it was, where it was like, I don't need to see them anymore. I was just like, I don't need these. I think I didn't see Little Nicky, and I've been told that's a mistake, but I still have not seen that movie.
I've seen no movie. Okay, I worked in movie theaters for a long time. Other than that, the movie I've seen in theaters most often was Little Nicky.
Yeah, it's pretty good, huh?
Pretty great is what I like to say.
Now that I've gone this long, it's kind of one of those movies where I'm like, if I find out that I'm dying, it'll be like the last thing I do.
Or you could just like watch it today.
If I have the luxury. Yeah. No, what? That's not fun. No, it's going to be like when I'm holding my wife's hand and I slip slowly away, and then, I'll get the Sandman doing the little, you know, the little Nicky voice. It's going to be great. I'm excited about the whole thing.
So you got to, the day before the most important election of our lifetime, you're planning how you're going to die.
Yeah, and so I'll watch Little Nicky, and then my wife has specific instructions to have me mummified. So that's where we're going.
All right, so I wanted to talk about this because I messaged you last week because I wanted to do this last week, but I ran out of time because I was preparing for the most important election of our lifetime, and I wasn't having a good time in the world of comedy, and I was thinking of who do I actually like that still performs in a comedic way that I don't think is dumb, and you're at the top of the list.
And I really thought you were going to say Sandler.
No, and the only difference between today, the day before the most important election of our lifetime, and last week is I watched 100% Fresh, and I was shocked about how good it was and how much I enjoyed it, and I did not expect to enjoy it at all. When you went to the show this summer, did you have any expectations? Did you know what was going to happen in any way?
No, had zero clue what I was getting into, and then kind of with the idea of like, this might be a complete train wreck. That was
in
the back of my head. It was like, maybe I'll see like a bizarre train wreck. Because who knows? I didn't know he was even doing stand up. I think I'd seen him do like some drop in sets here and there. Mm-hmm. And but you know, somebody that has like taken a break that long from doing stand up, the anticipation is like, this is a cash in. You know, like it's going to be half assed and like, hey, a boring observation about like, I don't know, whatever the hell the cliche for boring stand up is. That's what it would be. And it was not. It was really funny.
I'm assuming he played the sincere Chris Farley song.
Yes. The place was in tears.
Yeah,
it was. I've never seen anything like it.
So the special ends with two songs: the sincere Chris Farley song, and then a sincere song about his wife and about how happy he is. And that was,
yeah.
What the fuck?
What? Yeah, it's crazy.
And the fact that I'm like, that doesn't belong. How dare this 51-year-old man who's lived his dream be happy?
I know, right? He should be poor and suffering like all of us.
I think, I don't know why. So we have this festival in Washington, D.C. It's called Benson Ball. And I'm the managing editor of Brightest Young Things. You occasionally write for that site. Brightest Young Things puts on that festival. Now, it was a really good festival this year. And the acts I enjoyed the most happened to be African-American and happened to be not white people that are miserable. There were black people that are thriving, and I really enjoyed that. So turning on the Sandler special, I thought it'd be like, oh, this will be horrible. But in a way, it was more like the African-American comics that are thriving and happy to be alive versus your standard white and angry fellas. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely. And I think that I think that's a hard road to walk for Sandler, because it's like, I think the angry white guy thing is like, well, that's a little passe, right? I think we all have had enough of these opinions about what makes this white man so angry.
Hold on. Would you consider having a special just called that?
Yeah, the what makes this white man so angry special.
I think we've had enough of hearing this white.
Great. If I ever do a special, I think we've had enough as a decent title. I think we've heard enough of this.
I'm sorry I cut you off. That was rude of me. I apologize.
Well, it's like, who? Okay, the fact that he did a song about like loving his wife or something, like, hell yeah, man. How many like bad stand-up comics have you heard with jokes about like, oh, my stupid wife this or that? Like, still to this day, that still is a very common thing. And it's like, even if it's like, you know, a shitty take, it's hack. It's like so tired. It's like a lot of things are I hate about it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, completely.
So anyway, like him doing like positive material, like that's kind of great. I'm on board. I fully am on board with it.
Do you think that you and I are the outliers in this? Because we both are married, and I think I'm happily married. I hope I am, and I think you are. And whenever we mention our wives, it's usually like, "Hey, we're the dumb ones. Our wives are pretty great. We're real stupid people. We trick."
Yeah,
others.
I mean. You're an idiot. This goes without saying. I'm an idiot. We both managed to have very nice, supportive, patient, women in our lives. That's fantastic. Good work. Hey, good work. Hats off, I suppose.
It's important to remember the heroes on the day before the most important election of our life. So, do you think that we're the outliers in that, or do you think there's a... I keep going back to this Nixon idea of a silent majority, or do you think there's a silent majority of people that actually love their partner, and it's just real shitty megalomaniacs that need to do stand-up that are ruining it for the rest of us?
I think there's something to that, and I don't know. I've not done, you know, surveys or anything, but I think it's one of those things where most stand-up comics are lazy. I mean, there is this like inherent drive that makes them do stand-up comedy, but a lot of it is also like, I don't know. It's a weird laziness tied into it as well. And so for the most part, most stand-up comics will go the route of like, oh, that's a joke that I know people will laugh at. Done. And that's the end of the, you know, the thought process. So it's, you know, it's a trap you can fall into of like, yeah, my horrible wife this. And then, okay, I didn't put any more thought into it beyond that. So I guess it would have to be like some comics need to create like a new cliche of like, my very nice wife this, you know. My wife is so friendly.
Yeah, what I'm saying is like, we're the next step of hack. We're...
Yes, exactly. This is paving the way for new hacky bullshit comedy, yes.
Speaking of new hacky bullshit comedy, do you like what you do anymore? Do you like what you create? That's a sincere question. Do you like what you create?
Yeah, I think I dislike what I used to create, and I think I'm in the middle of liking what I do create.
When do you remember?
I think that's where I stand.
Did that happen gradually, or was there a specific moment where you realized, oh, I could be proud of this thing. I'm not worthless.
Man, yeah, that's a weird thing. Yeah, I have had that thought about, like, can I even like the things that I'm doing? I actually had this conversation with somebody last night where it was like, when you start doing stand-up, I think maybe stand-up specifically, it's you think that you are funny, so you should be doing it. And so therefore, the first stuff that you do, you're kind of blind to any critical thought about it. And it's like, this is great. I'm enjoying it. A little bit into the progression, then you hate all of that stuff. And the hate comes from a very real place, and it's deserved. Because the first things that anyone's doing as a stand-up are awful, no matter who you are. And then that hate period lasts for a really long time. And then I think you can get out of it and be like, all right, I have learned a lot and I think I know what I'm doing and I'm okay being happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm just now getting out of the hate part. I'm not there yet. Like I've done a lot of shows recently where I've had a lot of fun, and listening back, I don't hate as much of it, but I'm not 100% there, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be 100% there. I don't know if that's possible.
I mean, it's hard. I think what made it click for me was that I had to, I think it was mostly about moving to Los Angeles from Chicago, where it was like, I have to now be a salesman for my own work. Otherwise I will starve to death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, now I have to think about this in terms of, if I don't like it, no one will like it. Because I'm the one that has to present it to somebody, pitch it to somebody, make, you know, sell them on the idea of giving me some money to produce the things that I want to do. So it's like, if it's, maybe it's brainwashing myself, and that's entirely possible, because I've, you know, like, you have to brainwash yourself a little bit to do some things.
Oh, yeah. This is all silly, stupid, stupid things. We should all go live in the woods.
Yeah.
Eat meats for that,
yeah,
we
no,
hunt.
Yeah, no, I fight that feeling almost daily that I should be like, I have one goat, I make my own cheese, and I have a tree for my avocados, and that's my life. And so every day I have to be like, not today, stupid. Go try to write a joke about, I don't know, dogs, whatever the jokes are about. So,
whatever the jokes.
Yeah,
are
I don't
about.
Know, man. It's I don't even know what the it's like. Cowboys, Draculas, these are good joke topics.
It's important to write a Dracula joke the day after, the week after Halloween, the day before the most important election of our lifetime.
This is what we call, yeah, this is my little window for like, yeah, right after Halloween, right before the most election of our lives is, that's the Dracula golden hour.
This, see, if I was smart and real alty, I would call this episode the Dracula golden hour.
Start a whole podcast called the Dracula Golden
Hour. I got to start more podcasts. I think that's the issue. I'm not starting enough pods.
I think that's it. Yeah, get more of them. There's so many these days, and they're also very specific. It's too much for me. I'm trying to keep up.
Are you really?
I am not, no. I have listened to a few podcasts.
What are you listening to right now?
That's Okay, the last thing I did listen to was the offshoot. I don't know if it's really an offshoot, but it's the guy that hosts Cocaine and Rhinestones. His podcast called Your Favorite Band Sucks or
Yes.
something like that.
Okay.
And it's just like about, you know, he takes a band that's widely popular and then basically runs down a list of everything that's bad about them, which is like such a negative thing. And I know we just talked about like, oh, the angry white guy. It was a tired trope. But I don't know. There's a weird, like, you know, it used to be totally fine to just hate something and you can hate it and that's fine. And then I think hating things turned into kind of an identity that people latched onto.
Yeah.
And then I think that there was a backlash that was like, no more hating things, man. We're all positive. Hey, you know what? There's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. Everything is fantastic. And that was like, ah, we swung too far. And then it's like, ah, I guess the hate is back. I don't know.
See, I think the issue here is just balance. We need a balanced amount of hate. We need to know why we hate the things we hate. We need to know why things are hack and what that actually means. Not just like that chord progression is shit, but more like, you know, this is actually the Sex Pistols are actually a pro-life band. Like, that's why they suck.
Yeah, there are reasons to hate things that are totally valid and fine. Like, I don't know, there's plenty of music that's like, that's fine to hate that. But who cares? You don't need to...
Give me an example of you think a justifiably hated band.
Okay, I actually did this, and I know this is, again, going back to like hack comedic tropes, but I was thinking about it in those terms. I was like, okay, it is a hack comedic trope to shit on the band Nickelback. Mm-hmm. Just is. It's the go-to bad band. So I was like, all right, I will try to see what's going on here.
Okay.
I've not really listened to them outside of what you get on the radio. So I just straight up threw on, like a dozen Nickelback songs back to back to back to be like, all right, let's try it. Not one fucking good note in any of it. It's terrible. It's really bad.
Here's the thing,
the hack trope makes sense.
Here's the thing about the Nickelback issue, and specifically all Canadian bands. They have such a leg up based on how we hear them and why we hear them. I also feel like, yes, they're not good, but the reason why we even know of them is not even inherently their fault. Does that make sense?
Are you saying it's because of, like, in Canada, you have to, like, they must have programming that includes Canadian artists?
Yes, that's exactly
so
what
they
saying.
get to like leapfrog. Okay.
Yes.
But then, like, I don't know, there's other bands that didn't have that kind of crossover.
So give me an example.
I don't know. Who's Canadian?
Sum 41.
Oh, are they Canadian?
They're Canadian. That's like, you only know Sum 41 because they're Canadian.
Yeah. But like, oddly, I think it works in a good way for comedy there. Like, I don't see a lot of Canadian comedy that I'm like, okay, this got in because they had to. It was like, most of it's pretty fun. I like it.
Sure. Sure. But it's a lot.
So how does it work that way for comedy, but the opposite for music? I don't know.
Because there's only so many melodies and there's an infinite amount of ways to tell a joke as long as you're a white man.
True. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
See, the issue I'm having with the hating of the music, I think I'm doing Cosby bits now. Could I do Cosby bits now? Is that my guy?
Bring it back.
It's
bring
been too
back
long.
Cosby impressions. I tried to do a stand-up bit that was about, like, it's a shame that we can't do the voice, but people were still not ready for it. It's a funny voice. That's all I'm saying. Despite every evil, truly disgusting, monstrous thing that man did, he had a very funny voice. Can we give him that?
He has.
People
has.
Are still not ready for that. Well, no, not anymore. Not since all that information came out. His voice is no longer funny. It was great, though.
I'm treading lightly here because I was going to segue into misogyny, sexism, etc. That's great reasons to hate music.
Absolutely, yes, and there's plenty of bands that kind of fall into that, and bands that we've probably listened to and loved, and now you go back and you're like, whoa, not so great.
What's that voice?
Whoa, doctor.
Are you doing a Woody Allen voice because you just did a Cosby voice?
Not a great look.
Here's the thing about all this stuff. There's a band that's reuniting that we're a mutual fan of, and no one knows who they are. They're Mannequin Men. Mannequin Men out of Chicago are reuniting for like a 15th anniversary show. They broke up probably a decade ago. They're one of my favorite
Love
bands.
Them.
I feel like those are the only bands we could still like. Bands that never made it, that broke up, and yep. now they have IT jobs, and they play once or twice a year, and there's no scandal because no one has sex with them or gives them drugs because they never reached a certain level.
Yeah, and that's, like, weirdly enough, those are the bands that I can feel like I can get behind, and those are, like, those are also the comics that I like the most, too, which is, like, the comics that have been doing it and are so good at it, and they never got, like, top-tier famous. And then it's like, all right, now I'm 50-something, and I'm still doing this, and I'm probably better than ever in my entire life, and I'm still not really all that marketable, but it's, like, the best comedy you're going to see.
Do you think that's your trajectory? Your destiny is to end up with, like, a monthly residency at Largo to perform for people that make millions of dollars?
Oh, boy. I don't know. It's hard to think in terms of, like, maybe I'll cash in when I'm 55, but...
Slow down. I never said you'd be well off. You would be struggling. You would perform for well off
individuals. Yeah. I'll still work at a shoe store. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Calm down.
I could, yeah, and when I say cash it, I mean like, all right, I made $1,000 for one show, and that's the only show all year. Excellent. Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's obviously not the goal. But if it happened, I wouldn't be like, wow, who saw that coming?
I mean, Jesus, man.
A
goal.
I don't know.
Set a slightly higher goal.
I have goals. I have big goals.
Name one goal.
I bought a lot of stock in MoviePass. I think that's going to pan out. I think that's my payday. You see all the movies you want for just $9.99 a month. It's a great idea. It's really gonna.
I hope you have a very good day before the most important election of our life. We got to get out the vote.
All right. Hey, you know what? I know people are gonna tell you to rock the vote. You know. Hey, how about you stand up comedy the vote? How about that? That's the way to get people out there.
I think that might be the Billy Eichner ad campaign. I'm not joking.
Oh, great. We're in a great place. I can't wait to see the returns tomorrow. Jesus Christ.